Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a good start. Hope you and your family and your friends are all staying healthy at this time. And of course, we know today, February 2nd, which one, I can't even believe it's already February, but today in the United States is Groundhog Day, which, to be honest, it sounds just straight up made up. Like, it's something that was made for a movie. But no, actually, it's not. On this day, here in the United States, a groundhog awakens from his nap. He goes outside to see if he can see his own shadow. And it is believed by many that if the groundhog does see his shadow, there will be 6 more weeks of winter. If so, he will go back into his den and go back to sleep. If he can't see his shadow, then the groundhog is going to stay outside. He's going to play. He's going to do, I don't know, whatever it is that groundhogs do. And people will celebrate believing that spring is just around the corner. Now, they say the tradition of predicting the length of the remaining winter goes way, way, way back. In fact, clergy members would bless candles symbolizing the light of the world to give to their congregations before Groundhog Day. They say that on Groundhog Day, you would eat crepes. Germans practice the art of predicting the winter with a hedgehog instead of a groundhog. And then when they arrived in the United States, they settled in the hills of Pennsylvania, and the groundhog became the official spring predictor here in the USA. Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania has been chosen as the site for the annual Groundhog Day event. And I guess thousands of people come to the town of Punxsutawney on Groundhog Day for this weird, bizarre, odd, strange day of celebration. They watch this poor creature come out of the ground. And then, I don't know, they see what he does. They ask if he's vaxxed. I don't know. What booster has the groundhog had, by the way? Can we check on that? Is he on his third booster? Is he on his second? I don't know. But needless to say, Groundhog Day will probably be at least a little bit weird this year because that's just how life is right now. But, you know, today isn't just Groundhog Day, because February 2nd in 2022 is also National Girls and Women in Sports Day. In the USA, National Girls and Women in Sports Day is recognized by schools, organizations, and teams every year during the first week of February. You know, athletics play an important part in girls' lives, and I can attest to that. I coached boys' high school basketball, and then I switched over, and I did coach girls' high school basketball. And I can tell you that athletics can play a huge role in those kids' lives. Besides, you know, helping them establish like a routine for being healthy, having an active lifestyle, those kind of things, sports help these girls build confidence, help them develop leadership skills, help them to learn that ability to work within a team environment. Women who participate in sports in school are more likely to graduate from college. And according to many studies, women increase their odds of landing leadership positions when they have had a background in athletics. Girls develop lifelong, valuable relationships during their sports careers. They develop relationships with teammates, with coaches, even sometimes with opponents. And there's a lot of different sports that females do play, whether girls choose to be a part of the volleyball team, or maybe they want to play golf, maybe they are involved in gymnastics or basketball. The health, the leadership, the academic benefits that they develop are something that can last these kids a lifetime. And you know, if somehow we reach a point in this country where we are so socially woke that we will allow men who claim to be women to actually compete against women and then completely destroy them on the playing surface, hey, it's just another lesson for these girls, right? It'll just teach these girls they need to practice a little bit harder. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show and tell us your best method for motivating females to work a little harder, hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. You got a question, you got a comment, maybe you need a little advice, feel free to reach out to us. We will always take time to get you an answer. Also, be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new articles that are going up there every week. I am releasing a Daily Doses article on Tuesday. It is a very quick read for you. You can read it at work, and I'm sure your boss won't even notice. And then our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, is posting a new article on Thursdays. You know, he's talking about a number of different things. This last week, he talked a little bit about the Baseball Hall of Fame vote and one specific player who might get hurt by what is going on over there. Some good stuff over at DailyDoseSports.com, so make sure you're stopping by and checking out what is going on over there. Plus, you can always find a link to the video. You can always find a link to the podcast. You can always find a link to the Daily Dose gear. Speaking of that Daily Dose gear, we know it's just easier to shop online now. So be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up your Daily Dose gear. We've got t-shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got sweatshirts. You can pick whatever color you want, and you can pick from a number of different logos. We've got Daily Dose football logos, Daily Dose basketball logos, standard Daily Dose logos. We've got Daily Dose iTeam logos. A number of different options for you. Just stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and you will find exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we have a ton of news to get to this week. There are a number of stories that have come out over the past few days that are going to demand our attention. We are also going to have a Daily Dose top five for you today. Plus, do not forget that while the NFL is nearly now over, college football is over, March Madness is not quite yet here. We kind of have that lull in sports right now, except not this year. This year's going to be a little bit different. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But first off, we have some huge stories to discuss this week. And let's start off in the NFL, where we have had, like I said, just a ton of things coming out over the past few days. And let's talk about those NFL playoffs, because Super Bowl 56 is now set. And I'll be honest, it is not who we thought it was going to be. In the first game on Sunday, the AFC Championship, we saw something a little bit weird. We saw the football gods hard at work. You see, as a basketball coach, I'm a big believer in the basketball gods. Now, let me give you an example of the basketball gods. Your opponent has the ball. They shoot the ball. And four out of your five players box out their opponent. Well, the basketball gods will make sure that basketball, that loose ball, goes right to that one player that was not boxed out. That is how the sports gods work. And I'm a big believer in them. Well, this year in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs have been spitting in the eyes of the football gods. They've been doing it all year. They're a little too cute. They take dumb penalties, they drop passes, they turn it over, they make things more difficult than they need to be. But they are so talented, it doesn't end up mattering. They still win. On Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs were cruising to Super Bowl 56. They were up 21-3 on the Cincinnati Bengals. They're up 18. They're driving for more points. They could even have more. At the end of the first half, the Bengals actually scored. The score was 21-10 now. And the Chiefs drove down to the Bengals' one-yard line. There was about 5 seconds left in the half. Now, you would think that you would just kick the field goal, make it 24-10. You're up two touchdowns. You are in great shape for the second half. But head coach Andy Reid and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, they are way too smart for that stuff. So instead, they ran one more play to end the half, and a quick pass to Tyreek Hill was snuffed out by the Bengals defense, and the Chiefs came away at the end of the half with nothing. Now, at the time, it's like, okay. I mean, they could have added to their lead. They didn't get anything. Oh, well, they're still in the driver's seat. Little did we know that the football gods were angry, and they had decided that was going to be one of the last drives of the day for the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Cincinnati Bengals scored 14 second half points. They took a 3-point lead late in the game, 24-21. But at the end of regulation, the football gods allowed the Chiefs to score a field goal. Now the game is going into overtime, tied at 24. The football gods weren't done. Then they allowed the Chiefs to win the coin toss, just as they had last week against Buffalo, We all remember against Buffalo, they won the coin toss. The Chiefs drove right down the field and scored a touchdown. Game over. Buffalo didn't even get a chance to have the ball. So when the Chiefs won the coin toss on Sunday, the home Kansas City crowd went nuts. This overtime is just for show. We're going to the Super Bowl, kids. I mean, you can hear the KC crowd when they won the coin toss. This is all just for fun. This is all just for looks. We are headed to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes is going to drive this offense right down the field, score a touchdown, and we're going to go back to the Super Bowl again. But I told you the football gods were angry. And after that coin toss, the football gods smote the Chiefs. Mahomes throws an interception on the opening drive, and young Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow led the Bengals into field goal range, and the Cincinnati Bengals shocked the world. They are going to Super Bowl 56. Hey, Joe Burrow is cool beyond his years. Give that kid a ton of credit. What he has done there and the attitude that he portrays, hey, I'm here to win. That's what we do. We're not going to be shocked by it. I give him a ton of credit. But on Sunday, give that Bengals coaching staff and give that Bengals defense a ton of credit. I want you to think about this for 1 second. That explosive Chiefs offense that was in control, that was doing whatever they wanted on Sunday, in the second half, they were held to just 83 yards and just 16 passing yards from Patrick Mahomes. Hey, congrats to the Cincinnati Bengals and to their long-suffering fans. No one saw this coming. And also, tough break for Kansas City, because they've got a bunch of free agents. That big contract to Patrick Mahomes is about to kick in. And that window for Kansas City and the dynasty that everyone swore was coming, it might be closing. That might end up being a dynasty of one. We then had the second game. We had the NFC Championship game, a game featuring the division rivals, the Los Angeles Rams, against the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll be honest, in that second game, it looked like a division rivalry game. It was chippy. It was physical. There were penalties. It was hard hitting. It was a tough slugfest. Both defenses came up with big stops. Both offenses were trying to find out ways just to grind out tough yards. I told you last week, I picked the Rams and I actually picked the Chiefs. But I picked the Rams because I trusted Rams quarterback Matt Stafford a little bit more than I trusted Niners quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. Man, for a good portion of that game on Sunday, Stafford was looking every bit like a Detroit Lion that he used to be. But then in the second half, he saw Matt Stafford, he kind of calmed down. He started to look stronger. The Rams go 11 of 18 on third downs compared to the Niners going just 3 of 9 on third downs. Hey, third down is where NFL quarterbacks make their money. You want to get the big paychecks, you better convert on third downs. That is where you have to come through in the clutch. Stafford got it done when he had to. Jimmy G did not. Late in the game, the Los Angeles Rams rally from being down 17-7 in the second half. They come back. They take a 20-17 lead very late. And when the Niners had a chance to come back, it was Jimmy Garoppolo throwing a really ill-conceived interception that cinched the game. And now the Los Angeles Rams will be playing a Super Bowl in their home stadium. So now, Sunday, February 13th, we will have the Cincinnati Bengals facing the Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 56. Like I said, the Rams are going to be in their home stadium. But you know, Bengals fans are going to represent. They're going to go to LA. It is their first Super Bowl in over 30 years. And while I know it's really tempting just to say, hey, the Bengals are probably just happy to be there. They're the Cinderella team. No one expected this. The Rams should roll. Hey, the Cincinnati Bengals have been proving everyone wrong all season, so I'm not counting them out just yet. We will, of course, be getting you ready for Super Bowl 56 as only we can. It should be a very, very fun game. Be sure that you're tuning into The Dose. We'll make sure you know who is winning Super Bowl 56. Next up, though, let's move past those playoff games. We get a story that I don't even know exactly what to believe. On Saturday, ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that the most decorated quarterback in the history of the NFL, Tom Brady, would be retiring from the game. Well, maybe. We think. Okay, possibly. Because then Brady's father came out and said, well, Tom hasn't actually made a decision yet either way. Tom then came out on Instagram yesterday and said he didn't feel like he could commit fully to playing football. So he says he's going to retire. Although I could totally see him coming back just to spite Adam Schefter. He's petty enough to do that. I guess we'll see. Here's something I want you to think about, though. $15 million of Tom Brady's $20 million signing bonus from last March, it's actually set to be paid out this Friday, February 4th. Now, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, but it seems to me he might want to get that money. And I mean, I understand that while Tom Brady still looks like he can play for another probably 2 or 3 years, which is crazy to think about at his age, understand, this has nothing to do with Tom Brady's physical abilities. This has nothing to do with Tom Brady's competitiveness. If he is indeed retiring, this has nothing to do with his mental acuity or his love of the game. No, this is simply just another example of the fact that no matter how powerful a man might be, there's a good chance that his wife will tell him what to do. And if he defies those wishes, his life is going to be miserable. I mean, yes, the Buccaneers have some roster problems going into next year. They have a slew of free agents they're going to have to address. Brady didn't have much help down the stretch this past season. So it is understandable if he wants out, it would make some sense. But let's be clear. This is his wife Giselle's call if it happens. And understandably so. Hey, she doesn't want to have to go pay someone to feed Tom in his wheelchair. She's hoping he can get out with all of his faculties still intact. So, like, I get it. She probably is shutting it down. But, I mean, when she makes more money than you do, you kind of are at her mercy. Oh, and also, by the way, Adam Schefter, you're not very good at your job. You're supposed to confirm this with two sources. You clearly didn't do that. I know I make fun of ESPN a lot here on The Dose. This is one of the reasons why. And just to kind of give you a hint, I have a few more reasons in just a few minutes. A few of the vacant NFL coaching jobs are beginning to get filled. The Denver Broncos hired Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett last week in a move that has many people thinking quarterback Aaron Rodgers could be next to come to the Mile High City. And hey, that is very, very possible. The Packers are going to be dealing with a lot this offseason. They are going to be about $46 million over the salary cap to start the year. So good luck with that. Wide receiver Devontae Adams is a free agent. And they say that Aaron Rodgers really, really liked Nathaniel Hackett. So maybe Aaron could be coming to Denver. But before we start ordering that number 12 jersey here in Denver just yet, understand this. Aaron Rodgers isn't a free agent. He's under contract through 2023. The Packers would get dinged with a $27 million dead cap penalty if they cut him, which means the Denver Broncos would have to put together a pretty hefty trade package for Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers don't have to take it. They might be stuck with Aaron like holding out, pouting or whatever, but they hold his rights. The Packers can do whatever they want. I know people were quick to say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver. Maybe so, but you're going to have to jump through some hoops to make this happen. It's not as easy as, well, he's just a free agent. He can go like Peyton Manning was. That's not the case. They still own his rights. They don't have to let him go. I mean, you could force him to retire or something before he could go, delaying the process a year or two. That's not just a done deal. In one of the more surprising moves in the NFL, it was announced on Sunday that the Las Vegas Raiders would be hiring New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, who will be taking over for interim head coach Rich Bisaccia, who of course was forced to take over for resigned coach John Gruden at the midseason point. You know, there was speculation that Bisaccia had done enough to win the job himself, But the Raiders have completely changed their front office personnel. And apparently, that new front office feels like Josh McDaniels is the guy to lead this team. Plus, I mean, remember, the Raiders have always kind of looked for ways to cheat the system. And we all know, working under Bill Belichick, working with Tom Brady, I mean, Joshy himself has been caught cheating when he was coaching here in Denver. So this does kind of feel like the right fit, doesn't it? I think Josh McDaniels is perfect for the Raiders. The Chicago Bears have hired Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus to take over their head coaching position. He'll be taking over for head coach Matt Nagy, because if there's one thing the Bears need to focus on, it's defense, not offense, right? I mean, you just got rid of Nagy. I know he was supposed to be an offensive guy, but his offense didn't do anything. I thought they might bring in like an offensive mind. They did not. They are going to apparently still focus on their defense, which is already good. They need help for the offense. Pretty crazy, though, that Eberflus got the job right after his Indianapolis Colts lost to the worst team in the league in the final week of the regular season. Remember, the Jacksonville Jaguars torched Eberflus' defense with the playoffs on the line. This is a bold move for Chicago. We'll see if it works out. And the New York Giants went upstate and grabbed Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, who will be assigned the task of trying to turn quarterback Daniel Jones into Josh Allen, like he had in Buffalo. I'm not sure he can do that. But I mean, I think if you're the Giants, you have to try to fix Daniel Jones, right? He has some tools. He has some abilities. You got to bring someone in to see if he can repair this kid. And while I know it will be tough for Daboll to go from Josh Allen to Daniel Jones, imagine if you're Daniel Jones and you get to go from Joe Judge to Brian Daboll. That is a big win, my friends. That is a huge win. Okay, coming back. We aren't even close to being done with the sports news this week. We still have a few more NFL coaching stories to get to. We still have one Hall of Fame quarterback that actually is retiring. Plus, ESPN is really hurting for some news. We'll discuss that here in just a few minutes. While the NFL season is now down to one final game, starting later this week, we are going to have something else for sports fans to watch. How is it going to go? I literally have no idea. So let's continue in some sports news that we have had over the past week, and let's stay in the NFL, where after much conjecture, it was revealed that Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn is actually going to be staying in Dallas with the Cowboys. Now, Quinn had interviewed with the Denver Broncos, the Chicago Bears, the New York Giants, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Miami Dolphins. He turned down a chance to interview with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said he believes Dan Quinn actually turned down a head coaching opportunity to instead sign an extension and stay with the Dallas Cowboys for years to come. I mean, maybe that happened. Far be it from Jerry to be delusional, right? I'm just kind of spitballing here. Maybe these teams that interviewed Dan Quinn asked him one specific question that really stumped him. And I'm just trying to think of what that question could be. Let's say they asked him a question like this. They're like, so Coach Quinn, what would you do if hired? And let's say you had somehow found a way to get our team to the Super Bowl. And let's say in that Super Bowl game, you found your team up 28-3 on your opponent. What would you do? And Dan Quinn was like, what happened was, maybe that is actually why Dan Quinn is returning to the Cowboys. Nice try, Jerry. I'm not buying it. Next up, in a story that is not in fact being disputed, after 18 seasons as the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger announced last week that he would be retiring from the NFL. Roethlisberger announced that on Twitter about 3 years too late. Roethlisberger is now 39, and he will most likely be a Hall of Famer. He ended his career with 2 Super Bowl wins, Rookie of the Year honors, and the 5th most passing yards over 64,000 in NFL history. Drafted by the Steelers 11th overall in 2004, Roethlisberger took over the starting job for an injured Tommy Maddox in his rookie season. He led the Steelers to a 15-1 regular season record, but then the Steelers would lose to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. But Roethlisberger won his first Super Bowl just a year later in a game against the Seattle Seahawks, in a game, I might add, that is more remembered for all of the bizarre officiating that went on in that weird Super Bowl. But then he won another title just 3 years after as the Steelers defeated the Arizona Cardinals in Super Bowl 43. You might remember Ben Roethlisberger delivering the game-winning touchdown pass to San Antonio Holmes with just 35 seconds left. Roethlisberger finishes his career with a franchise record 165 regular season victories. That is fifth most in NFL history. He also had a 67% winning percentage in the regular season as a starting quarterback. That is the second highest in franchise history and the sixth highest in NFL history. You know, Big Ben was just a physical freak. He was so big. He was so strong. He was a problem to ever get him down to the ground. He took a ton of hits, but he was able to just stand in there and deliver the ball. Of course, we also know that for all the highs he had, there were a few significant lows in Roethlisberger's career. He was twice publicly accused of sexual assault. He was not prosecuted in either case, but he was suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy back in 2010. You know, I won't remember Big Ben with the Bradys or with the Peytons or, you know, just those pure passers. But he was a highly successful quarterback. He was a giant guy playing the quarterback position. And he really, really enjoyed the nightclub restrooms. We are, of course, still waiting for a few different NFL franchises that are in need of head coaches to finish up their interviews, to finish up their meetings, to come up with their plan of trying to figure out who they should hand the controls of their team to. But so far, we have seen a few teams hire their head coaches. We have also seen a few teams choosing to pass on Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. Well, as you can imagine, that did not sit well with ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Smith actually voiced his concerns about Bieniemy getting passed over for these jobs, at least so far. We'll see if he ends up getting a job down the road. But Stephen A. was particularly upset that the Denver Broncos did not hire Bieniemy and instead hired Nathaniel Hackett. In fact, let's hear what Screamin' A. Smith had to say.
When you consider a guy like Eric Bieniemy that's been to 4 straight conference championship games, back-to-back Super Bowls, and you can't get a job. And I hate this for Nathaniel Hackett because, ladies and gentlemen, Nathaniel Hackett has a resume. As a black man that points out these kind of things, this kind of inequities when they take place, I want to make sure Nathaniel Hackett knows this is nothing against him. He has a resume, ladies and gentlemen. You work in Buffalo, you work in Jacksonville, you work in Green Bay, all as an offensive coordinator. You have a resume that says you are a qualified candidate for a head coaching job in the National Football League. This is no knock against him whatsoever. But if Aaron Rodgers ends up going to Denver, essentially Hackett was hired because that's going to get us Aaron Rodgers. And I can't fault John Elway for that either. I can't blame him for that. It's just a damn shame when I see something like this in regards to Eric Bieniemy and his resume. And then you put that up against Nathaniel Hackett's resume, because the great Aaron Rodgers hasn't been in a Super Bowl since 2010. And Hackett wasn't even an offensive coordinator in the National Football League at that particular moment in time. He didn't get to Buffalo until 2013. And so for him to end up getting a head coaching job, okay, when he had Aaron Rodgers, and him in combination with Matt LaFleur hasn't been able to get you over the hump, and you just scored 10 points in an NFC divisional playoff game on your home turf in inclement weather where you were supposed to be at a decided advantage against the San Francisco 49ers team that, oh, by the way, was playing on a short week and had Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, and the special team scored. The defense for Green Bay held you to 6 points, and your offense can't generate more than 10 points. And a couple of weeks later, you get a head coaching job. But Eric Bieniemy, with those qualifications, doesn't get the job. I'm telling you right now, as a black man, it is sickening. It is insulting, and it bothers the living hell out of me.
Hey, Stephen A. makes some points there. Hackett has a good resume, but Bieniemy's might be better. I mean, the Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl recently. They have won it. They went to the AFC Championship again this year. They've gone to the AFC Championship the last few years. Is Bieniemy getting passed over for these head coaching jobs because of his race? Remember, Eric Bieniemy went to the University of Colorado up in Boulder. We know Eric pretty well here in this state. So let's examine this case just a little deeper, because I know what Stephen A. is saying. I just want to see if we can figure this out. Nathaniel Hackett had input on the offensive plays being called in Green Bay. But they say head coach Matt LaFleur actually called the plays. And then, let's be honest, quarterback Aaron Rodgers probably just did whatever he wanted. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, they say it's kind of the same situation with Bieniemy. That Andy Reid is probably calling most of the plays. Bieniemy is kind of giving his input on them. And then, of course, we have Patrick Mahomes, who we have seen. He kind of likes to make things up and do his own thing as well. Both guys have been good. Both guys have been under really good coaches. And both guys have been working with great quarterbacks. So we don't really know what either Hackett or Bieniemy can really do on their own. Based on that, this seems like kind of a tie. So then why did Hackett get the benefit of the doubt and land the Broncos job and not Bieniemy? Especially here in Colorado, where it would seem that Bieniemy would have an advantage. He went to school here. Well, here is where the problem lies for Mr. Bieniemy, and where the mistake is made by one Stephen A. Smith. See, here in Colorado, we know Eric Bieniemy a little bit. We know this. We know that Colorado police arrested Eric Bieniemy and teammate Kenavis McGee following a February 1989 bar fight. Bieniemy was charged with disorderly conduct and fighting in public, but he pleaded no contest to the charges. He and Kenavis McGee each received deferred sentences and performed court-mandated community service. Okay, well, that was back in college. That was 30 years ago. That's college hijinks. We can just pass that off as young men being stupid, right? We all did dumb things in college. We certainly wouldn't all want to be held accountable for every dumb thing we did in college. We can get past that, right? Okay, what do we have next? Well, Bieniemy pleaded no contest after allegedly shoving a firefighter on July 4th, 1990. The University of Colorado suspended Bieniemy for one game during that 1990 season. Again, this is college football players doing dumb things. That is a story as old as time. This doesn't concern me. Please tell me there is something here of interest, because so far, this is dumb. Okay, well, here's another item. Colorado police once again arrested Eric Bieniemy, now in the NFL, in September of 1993. Police reported that Bieniemy allegedly grabbed a female parking attendant by the neck and threatened her. They say that he told her that he would have him and his boys come get her. The University of Colorado Boulder, in fact, banned Bieniemy from their campus for a year. Here is what the police report stated about this case. The parking attendant stated that the male who grabbed her neck said something about a bunch of black males all at once coming after her to be her worst nightmare. Okay, this is a problem. You're now an adult. You're playing pro football. You're beating up a woman and threatening her with something. I don't know exactly what you're threatening her with, but it doesn't sound good. Still not done. Colorado police arrested Bieniemy on a DUI charge in April 2001, 3 months after he joined the football staff as a running backs coach. He previously had already had his driver's license suspended after numerous violations. Bieniemy was also linked to allegations that Colorado's football program used alcohol and sex to lure recruits. Hey, this isn't just an NFL team digging into Bieniemy's sordid past and judging him for things he did when he was 19. These are things that would hurt any of us if we were trying to get jobs. Try this. Go tell your job you have a DUI. You might have a problem. You might even lose your job. Or if you're applying for a job, you might not get that job. Go try to get a job and tell them how you were accused of supplying college kids with alcohol and sex. You might not get that job. Or better yet, have your potential employer find out that you once assaulted a woman and then you threatened her with some sort of violence. Yeah, you might not get that job. So Stephen A. can say that Eric Bieniemy is being wronged in these cases of not getting these head coaching jobs, but a lot of these things are self-inflicted by Bieniemy for apparently, as a younger person, doing some really, really dumb things. Well, sometimes you do dumb things and you can kind of hide them and get away with it and no one knows about it. Sometimes you do dumb things that haunt you for a while. And NFL teams are looking at this path of dumb things Eric Bieniemy did when he was younger, and it is hurting his case. It especially hurts his case in Colorado, where we know a lot of his dirty laundry. But you know, it wasn't just Stephen A. that was mad about the NFL hiring processes. Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores has now filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL and against three different teams, the Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos, and the New York Giants, alleging discrimination regarding his interview processes with Denver and New York and with the process of him being fired last month by the Dolphins. In that 58-page lawsuit, Flores claims Dolphins owner Stephen Ross attempted to incentivize him to tank, probably incentivized him to not teach Tua anything either. Flores also alleged that the Giants interviewed him last month for their head coaching vacancy for no other reason than compliance with the NFL's Rooney Rule, which requires teams to interview minority candidates for their open positions. Flores claims he interviewed with the Giants on January 18th, prior to the team hiring Brian Daboll. Flores' lawsuit alleges that he received a series of text messages from New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick, and in those texts, Belichick told Flores that he had heard from Buffalo and the Giants that you are their guy. Flores then asked Belichick to clarify whether he meant to talk to him or to Daboll, who is also in the running for the Giants' job, and Belichick then admitted his error and informed him the Giants wanted Daboll. Sorry, I effed this up. I double-checked and misread the text. I think they are naming Brian Daboll. Sorry about that, Belichick said in the text. Flores alleges that his ensuing interview with the Giants was a sham. Flores also claims a similar scenario to what happened with the Giants happened with the Broncos as well when they interviewed him, because Flores says Broncos general manager John Elway arrived to the interview an hour late and clearly hung over.
I like you, but you're crazy.
And looked as though he had been drinking heavily. Yeah, big shocker there, B-Flow. We know John Elway's drunk every day. But the lawsuit says that the coach is hoping to shine a light on the racial injustices that take place inside the NFL. Hey, kids, these are some pretty big accusations here. Here's the problem. This is very similar to the Colin Kaepernick thing. I mean, maybe what he is saying is true, but you can't prove it.
You both live in the same dream world. It doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what I can prove. So please, don't tell me what I know and don't know. I know the law.
It's a lot of speculation. You can't even prove Elway was drunk. You're saying, oh, he looked drunk. I thought he was drunk. Well, can you prove he was drunk? No, well, it doesn't matter then. The burden of proof is on you. And if you can't prove it, this isn't going anywhere. But hey, Brian, way to go full scorched earth on this, because after all these accusations, I don't know that you're ever going to get a job again. For your sake, I hope this all works out, but I have my doubts. I don't think this is going to go anywhere because I don't think you can prove anything you're saying. Finally, we have a little more ESPN news, if you will. But ESPN wasn't even done after the Eric Bieniemy thing. Sure, Adam Schefter may have jumped the gun on the Brady story. Stephen A. Smith called out not hiring Eric Bieniemy racist, despite the fact the man has actually been arrested a few times. Well, the nationwide leader in sports had yet another story we need to consider this week on The Dose. I want you to sit down for this one, because it is going to be shocking to you. Now, I'm not sure anyone has actually passed out from receiving sports news, but just in case, I want you listeners to be safe. Here we go. Per ESPN, male athletes are leading the way 6 months after the NCAA cleared the way for college athletes to earn money on their name and likeness. In fact, males lead in total name and likeness compensation and have more name and likeness deals than women, according to third-party data from July 1st through December 31st. ESPN reported that NIL opportunities are clearly uneven among genders and among Power 5 schools. Now, this is shocking news, people. This is crazy. Who saw this coming? ESPN wasn't done. They wrote, the Washington State women's volleyball team, for example, has zero NIL deals. Several of its international players are not eligible for them. But coach Jen Greeney, whose teams have gone to the NCAA tournament six straight seasons, said women's teams just don't seem to be a priority for name and likeness deals. Hey, this is not good, kids. We talked earlier about this being National Girls and Women in Sports Day, and as you can see, things are not equal here. And let's take it a step further. ESPN also recently reported that Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp's 2021 salary of $13 million. Yeah, that's more than all of the players in the WNBA make combined. Hey, this is unequal. This is so unfair. We don't do it very often. But right now, we're going to teach a brief class. Okay, class here at the Daily Dose is now in session, and I will be teaching you the difference between opportunity and outcome. See, here's the thing that a lot of people still haven't learned. It's weird that they haven't learned it. You'd think you'd learned it by the time you were, I don't know, six. But a lot of people still haven't learned this. See, here's the thing. Everyone deserves an opportunity. If you are in sports, if you're trying to get a job, if you're trying to go to school, if you're trying to get these things, everyone deserves an opportunity. If we don't allow you to try, if we don't allow you the opportunity, that is wrong. If you're not allowed to apply for a job, that is wrong. If you're not allowed to even play a sport, that is wrong. Opportunity and the pursuit of happiness go hand in hand. They should be guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States of America. So let's just lob this out there. Let's say I have two quarterbacks. You get to try to play. You get the opportunity to play. Opportunity must be given, right? But the outcome is not guaranteed, nor can it be. So just for instance, say I take Drew Locke and I take Patrick Mahomes. We put them on the playing field. Mahomes throws for 5 touchdowns. Drew Locke throws 5 interceptions. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, as anyone would, right? And you can't say, well, this is unequal. This is unfair. No, Patrick Mahomes produced. He did something with his opportunity. He got the opportunity, and he produced. See, here's the problem with the name and likeness thing. Everyone has the opportunity to get it. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed outcome on it. See, the entire Alabama Crimson Tide football team, they all have name and likeness opportunities. Like, the fifth-string quarterback probably gets to do something with his name and likeness. The Washington State volleyball team does not. Now, is this misogyny? Is this some weird gender bias? No. See, when Alabama football plays, thousands of people attend those games. Millions of people watch on TV. When the Washington State volleyball team plays, tens attend, and like nobody watches. Do you see the difference? Companies that want to invest in these name and likeness opportunities, they want to see a return on their investment. This is not just, hey, we're handing out free money. We'd like to give everyone money. Well, how come you're only giving it to guys who play big time sports? Well, that's not what it is. This is an investment. They want return on their investment. I mean, I guess we can talk about why no one watches those other sports. Why football is the biggest thing and then basketball is the biggest thing and some of the other sports come later. Men's is much, much more popular than women's. Men's brings in a billion times more money every single year than women's. I guess we can discuss those things, but the facts are that's what they are. This isn't inequality, people. Again, outcome is not guaranteed. Only opportunity is guaranteed. Okay? Understand? Class dismissed. Okay, coming back. College football is, of course, over until next summer. The NFL has just one more game remaining in that Super Bowl. So what in the world are we going to be watching for the next few weeks until March Madness really kicks in? Well, we've actually got something for you starting this week. And we still need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. The career of Tom Brady could be over. If so, hey, it's been an amazing ride. How amazing has it been? Our Daily Dose Top 5 has a few items that I'm telling you right now, you are not going to believe. Okay, so football is all but over. I know the Super Bowl is still coming, but then that's going to be it. And I don't know about you, but I literally get depressed at this time of year. The holidays are over. The kids are back to school. But we still are in winter. Yet football is over. March Madness isn't quite here yet. How in the world are we supposed to survive right now? Well, in 2022, we actually do have something to get us through this tough time, and it starts this Friday. And while it's not going to be anything that I'm going to be like glued to, the Olympic Games do at least give us something to watch. The 2022 Beijing Winter Games begin on Friday. They will run until February 20th. And I know that the Winter Olympics, they're weird. They're just weird. I don't know how else to say it. It's not like the Summer Games where we get track and field, we get gymnastics, we get basketball. It's not like that at all. We get weird sports that, I don't know, drunk Canadians play in their backyards in the winter. I don't know. I understand that. But that doesn't mean these Winter Olympics won't provide something entertaining to watch right now. I actually have 5 reasons for you to watch those 2022 Beijing Games. And hopefully, watching these Olympics will kind of tide us over at least until Selection Sunday or, I don't know, the USFL starts or something. But there are actual reasons why you should watch these 2022 Olympic Games. I've got 5 reasons for you. Let's count those down. First and foremost, I just want to see how the games play out being played in China. We know things over there, they might get weird. Like me personally, I'd be scared to go, just being real honest. But we will see, does China do anything stupid? Could we see Chinese athletes, I don't know, like try to ski jump their way to freedom? Maybe. Could we see judges horribly favor Chinese athletes? I think that is absolutely going to happen without question. But I think it's going to be fascinating just to see how these games in China, a country that has a lot of weird things going on right now, it's going to be fascinating to see how these games unfold over there. Will the government get involved on any level? I certainly hope not. Will LeBron James be sitting in President Xi's exclusive suite? I don't know. Who knows? But I'm going to be interested to find out. One reason to watch these 2022 Winter Games, just to see how things kind of shake down in the country of China. Next up, I don't know how to say this, but the Winter Olympics do bring something to the table that you just don't get in the Summer Games. And I'm not talking about competition. I'm not talking about weird Canadian white people sports. No, kids. I'm talking about danger. All those wacky bobsleigh, luge, skeleton, ski jump events, they're weird and they're odd and they're crazy. And they're also incredibly, incredibly dangerous. Look, I grew up going to auto races as a kid and hearing the adults around me saying, well, I just hope we see a lot of crashes tonight. I'm not saying that. I was always like, I hope we don't see any crashes tonight. I don't want to see somebody get hurt. I'm not cheering for danger in these Winter Olympics. But these athletes are participating in very, very dangerous events. These athletes in these Winter Games are barreling down the side of a snowy mountain on skis or sleds or roller skates or whatever, I'm going to tune in. This is insane. How can you not watch these dangerous events? It's literally like watching Evel Knievel back in the day, except that there are like 10 other Evel Knievels out there with him. The danger of the Winter Olympics? Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm going to watch it. I'm not proud to say it, but it is one of the reasons I am going to be watching the Winter Olympics. Okay, next up. Okay, but I won't just watch the Winter Olympics to see if China does something crazy or to see if one of these athletes launches themselves into orbit like Wile E. Coyote in these crazy winter events. There have to be some of these events, some of these athletes that are actually worth watching, right? Well, I'll be watching snowboarding. I'm not a snowboard guy. I've told you before, I don't do winter sports. I don't go skiing. Yes, I'm in Colorado. I'm a Colorado native. I don't ski. I don't snowboard. I don't go up to the ski slopes in winter. Understand this. I've been in basketball for most of my life. Winter is basketball season to me. It is not ski or snowboard season. So I'm not a snowboard guy. But the Americans do have some snowboarders I want to check out. 35-year-old halfpipe champion Shaun White is going to be in these Olympics. There's no way he could win again, right? But I mean, it's the Olympics. You never know. Defending gold medalist American Chloe Kim, who won her gold medal in the halfpipe in the last Olympics at the age of just 17, she's going to be competing again and trying to bring home gold again. Plus, slopestyle boarders Jamie Anderson and Red Gerard, they're all returning to defend their titles in 2022. So yeah, I will be watching snowboarding. Snowboarding is at least halfway entertaining. I don't have to be tuned all in on it, but I'll actually check out some snowboarding because there are some interesting stories there that I want to see. Up next at 4, let's be honest, we all watch the Olympics and we all cheer for our countries, right? We also watch the Olympics and we cheer because we want to see greatness. We want to see the best of the best. And the USA has both of these things going for them in alpine skiing this year. Because American Michaela Schifrin is one of the most dominant athletes in alpine skiing right now. She is a two-time Olympic gold medalist. She won 4 medals at the 2021 World Championships. Michaela Schifrin is the youngest slalom champion in Olympic alpine skiing history. She has won the most World Cup slalom races in history. She has 45. Oh, and also, Miss Schifrin, she's pretty easy on the ice. And I know that's vain and I shouldn't say that in this era, but yeah, I'm going to be watching Michaela Schifrin. She's really, really good at what she does. She's really, really fun to watch. She is one of the best of the best of the best. I'm going to watch some alpine skiing this year because I want to see, can she do it? Can she step up and get it done with all the pressure on her? Yet another reason that I will be watching the 2022 Olympics. Finally, I am going to watch these Winter Olympics for the same reason that I ever watched the Winter Olympics. For the hockey. Team Canada is the favorite in both the men and in the women's. But we know the Olympics. Anything can happen. Now, barring a major upset, the women's tournament is probably going to come down to the gold medal game between Canada and the United States. I feel reasonably safe with that prediction. Given that since women's ice hockey was added to the Winter Olympics back in 1998, all but one final has been Canada versus USA. Now, Canada leads the all-time Winter Olympics series 3-2. But remember, Team USA is the defending Olympic champions, and they won the last time in a shootout. Then, over on the men's side, even though the US NHL is not actually allowing their professionals to take part in the Winter Olympics, the Olympics ice hockey tournaments, they're going to be really, really fun because while we don't have NHL players going, you're going to have the young, upcoming studs from all over the world coming to show their skills in the men's tournament. It's going to be some unknown players, but you're also going to be discovering some really, really good players. Hey, hockey is the reason to watch the Winter Olympics. I get the Winter Olympics are a little bit odd, and they're even more odd this year with all that's going on in the world, with all that's going on, especially in China. But there are still a few reasons that you may want to tune in and keep up. The opening ceremonies for the 2022 Beijing Olympics will be on Friday. Like I said, I'm not going to be glued to it, but I'm going to be watching. It's going to be something, hopefully, that carries us over until March Madness arrives, gets us through that little lull after the football season ends. No, it's not great. A lot of it's kind of weird, but I'll be tuning in because there are a few stories that I definitely do want to keep up on in these Winter Olympics. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. Five! Like we announced early in the show, Tom Brady might be retiring. After 22 seasons and 7 Super Bowl victories, the most decorated quarterback in the history of the league might be hanging it up. And I've told you on the Dose before, I think all of the greatest quarterback of all time stuff is nonsense. You can't prove it. Most decorated? Not even close. Greatest? Who knows? I mean, Tom Brady didn't play in an era of like playing on dirt fields like Johnny Unitas did. He didn't play in an era of being able to knock his and his receivers' heads off like Montana and Marino and Elway did. And those guys didn't get to play in this super soft era either. So all of the GOAT stuff and all of the best ever stuff and all the, well, there's no question he's the greatest ever. All that stuff is totally subjective and you can't prove it. And it's all really nonsensical to me. But there is no question that what Tom Brady has done is absolutely insane. I mean, Tom Brady led the New England Patriots to 17 division titles, including 11 straight from 2009 to 2019. That's crazy. He led them to 13 AFC championship games, again, including 8 in a row from 2011 to 2018. He took them to 9 Super Bowl appearances. He took them to 6 Super Bowl titles, all NFL records for a player and for a franchise. Then Brady left the Patriots. He joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2020, and he led them to a Super Bowl victory, extending that individual record of his to 10 Super Bowl appearances and 7 Super Bowl rings. That is absolutely incredible. But today, our Daily Dose has 5 stats for you that are going to sound like either myself or maybe members of the Daily Dose I-team or someone made them up. I assure you, that is not the case. These 5 items are 100% true. Today, we count down the top 5 Tom Brady stats that sound fake.
Frankly, it sounds made up.
But trust me, they aren't. Let's go ahead and jump in at number 5. I am going to give you a stat right now, and when you hear it, you go, that can't be right, and yet it is. Tom Brady has won 12.5% of all Super Bowls in history. From Super Bowl 1 until now, Super Bowl 56, Tom Brady has been the winner of over 12% of every Super Bowl. That doesn't make any sense. How could that be true? But it absolutely is. I mean, when you're thinking back to some of those old teams and some of those old players, and Tom Brady has won over 12% of every Super Bowl. That is absolutely insane. It sounds fake, but it's absolutely true. And it comes in today at number 5. We move next to number 4. Here's our next stat. Tom Brady has more career passing touchdowns than the Carolina Panthers, the Baltimore Ravens, the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Houston Texans franchises have. Not combined, but individually. Tom Brady has more touchdowns than 4 different NFL franchises. And I realize those franchises are relatively new. But how do you have more touchdowns than a franchise? You've had as many quarterbacks as you can possibly get. Tom Brady has thrown more touchdowns than your entire franchise has thrown. That comes in today at number 4. Next up at number three, we have another stat that kind of sounds made up. In NFL history, how many quarterbacks have passed for 600 touchdowns? One. That is Tom Brady. He's the only guy who ever did it. And I mean, when you think of some of the more modern guys, you think of the Drew Brees, you think of the Peyton Mannings, you think of some of these guys, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, only one guy has passed for 600 touchdowns. That has a lot to do with longevity. That has a lot to do with greatness. That has a lot to do with a guy that just knows how to get it done. Tom Brady, the only guy ever in NFL history who has passed for at least 600 touchdowns. It's just Tom. He's the only guy in the 600 touchdown club. That comes in today at number three. Next up at number two, we have another stat that when I tell it to you, you're going to say, that doesn't sound right. That kind of sounds made up. And yet I assure you, this is absolutely true. I want you to think back to some Super Bowl history. What teams have won the most? Who have been the best teams in the NFL? You might think like the Pittsburgh Steelers. You might even think the New England Patriots. Here's what's kind of crazy to think about. Our number two stat. Tom Brady has won more Super Bowls than the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has seven. The Steelers have six. Tom Brady has also won more Super Bowls than the New England Patriots. Because again, he has seven and the Patriots have only six. And that comes in at number two. How is that even possible? But it absolutely is. Finally, we reach the number one stat about Tom Brady that when you hear it, you just go, that doesn't sound right. That sounds made up. There's no way that's true until you stop and you think about it. And you go, well, yeah, I guess it is, but it still doesn't sound right. Like that sounds kind of weird. Here's our number one stat. Tom Brady has gone to the Super Bowl 10 different times in 19 seasons that he was healthy. That is a percentage of 52.6%. In his 19 seasons as an NBA player, Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James has made 50.4% of his shots taken from the field. That means that Tom Brady is more likely to go to the Super Bowl than LeBron James is likely to make his next basket. And that, my friends, is a stat that, again, sounds completely made up. And yet, because of the incredible career that we know that he has had, it's absolutely true. Tom Brady, more likely to go to the Super Bowl than LeBron James is to make his next basket. I don't know how these things work. Like I've told you before, the Daily Dose Top 5 has a mind of its own. This one sounds completely fake. It sounds completely made up. It sounds like the Daily Dose iTeam just made up a bunch of stats. Trust me, you can look them up. They are all true. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will, of course, be previewing Super Bowl 56 as only we can. And I know. Our playoff predictions here at The Dose, they haven't been as sharp as they have in some years. In some years, we have gotten every single game right. You can go back and listen and prove it. We have actually nailed every single playoff game. We've missed a few here this year, but I will tell you this, our track record here at The Dose, we have managed to predict the Super Bowl every year with a really, really high accuracy rate. So if you want to know who's winning Super Bowl 56, be sure that you check out The Dose next week and be sure that you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel, for checking out the new things going up over at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Frankly, it sounds made up.